thank you that we can come and worship you and give you all the glory. Father, I pray that your anointing would be upon today's message, and it would touch and minister to our hearts, and it would encourage us, that it would lift us up and draw us closer to you. Don't let us leave this place the same way as we came in. Don't let us leave just encouraged and strengthened by your word. Take a coal from the altar, cleanse my lips, let me speak forth the absolute truth of the word of God today that would set people free. God, I just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. 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 You may be seated. Kids, you guys can head on back, and I'm sure there's stuff back there to do. There's probably some coffee left over. You guys can drink some coffee and stuff, and then go home with your parents later and bounce off the walls. lots of hot chocolate. Amen. Yeah, I had told a friend of mine that's a junior high teacher that, you know, that the junior hires swing by and get hot chocolate and stuff and grab, you know, we have little Danish and stuff and, you know, out there. And I said, you know, they stop by and they get their little Danish and hot chocolate and stuff and then head off to school. And he goes, oh, I'm glad I'm not right down the street from your church. I bet those kids are bouncing off the walls. I said, oh, I never even thought of that. He goes, oh, of course you didn't. I'm sorry. They sure like coming in here, though. Today I want to talk to you guys about title of my message is Made for Positive Achievement. We are made for positive achievement. You and I are made in our innermost being for positive achievement, to be outgoing, to master our circumstances. Oh, wouldn't that be great? To master our circumstances. And we're created for that. We are made to create. If we're not positively creating and producing things, the machinery of our lives will get out of gear. For we are geared to creation. When God was creating the light, when he was changing the chaos into order, he was thinking of me and you. As when God spoke this world into existence, he was thinking of you and I. He was thinking, man, I'm going to make this world. And art is going to have dominion over all the earth. And so was Lynette. Dominion over all the earth. She was going to control every circumstance in her life, everything. She was going to have the power and the authority through me to rule the world. That's what he gave us. I mean, that's what he had in mind for us. Well, then, you know, Eve ate the apple and Adam went along with it and the whole thing just off it went. Out of control it spun, and then Jesus came along and said, hey, I'm going to give it all back to you. I'm going to let you have all. And then, so for years we've thought, oh, no, and now we got Jesus. And now we have to get in our minds that God had us in mind when he created everything. When all this stuff was created, when he took the chaos that was out there, turned it into what we have today, all the beauty and splendor of this world, created you and I from the dust of the earth, his whole intention was that we would have dominion over this earth, that we would be the ones that would be the creative forces and achieve positive things in our lives, that we would be a positive force and a positive energy moving into this world. But then sin came along, negativism came along into this world, and negativism, therefore, is not only keeps us from achieving, it keeps us from being who we were created to be. We can all, you know, it's easy to get caught up in all the problems. I remember I was talking to a guy just yesterday, and he said he was walking across the street, and he was smiling and whistling as he was walking across the street. And some guy walked up to him and said, "What are you so happy about?" And he goes, I don't know. I'm always happy. I'm happy. And he goes, "Well, don't you know what's going on in the world? All the terrible things that are happening and all that." And he looked at him and he said, "Yeah, I do. And they're all bad. But I'm not sure about me being all negative is going to help that. How is me being having a bad attitude going to help the world change?" Oh, the guy said, Oh, I didn't think of that. I mean, just, you know, if we all stopped being so negative, I mean, are you saying, Pastor, you want us to be positive all the time? Yeah, it was funny. Years ago, we used to, you know, when the Word of Faith people were out there, they still are, but when they were a big deal, you know, and everyone used to say that we, you know, positive confessions, say the right. Are you saying, Pastor, that you should be we should be confessing positive things? And I used to look at people and go, well, let's see. What would be the opposite of that? Negative things. I'm surely not saying you should go around and just be negative all the time. I don't understand a positive message. I don't understand people that go, you're just one of those positive confession people. Well, what exactly would you rather have me be? Someone that goes around and just negatively confesses everything? That's the guy I want to hang out with. Oh, Glum from Gulliver's Travels. Remember, some of us, you know, when we were kids, it was H&R Puffin stuff. You know, the little flute. And you guys, none of you guys remember that? Okay, good. I was like, come on, man. You know, the island where the people couldn't speak, you know, and the little crazy, with the skulls painted. You know, Treasure Island or whatever that was. And the Banana Split guys, they were the guys in the little costumes, and they'd say, you remember that show, don't you? Yeah, and Gulliver's Travels was part one of the cartoons on that, and there was this guy, Glum. "We'll never make it. It'll never work." Yeah, that's the guy. I want him to be my best friend. You know, huh? Yeah, like Eeyore, yeah. Oh, no, yeah. Oh, man. Sometimes you got to be careful on Facebook. Man, some people just, you know, if there wasn't a forum like that, I don't know what they would do with themselves. I mean, but personalities break down under negative attitudes. It just comes in and begins to break us down and make us not at all who we're supposed to be. We're not made to be negative. We're made to be a positive force in this universe. We're made to create. We're made to speak those things that are not as though they were. We're made for that. That's what we're made for. God has given us the power, and the power that now dwells in us can transform things. In Psalms 139, verses 14 through 18, it says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret," or in the womb of the mother, "when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower places of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." That's saying right there that the whole plan was for us. God didn't create the world and then go, "Hey, you know what? Maybe if I created some people to be on it." He said, "You know what? I want to create a people that by their own decision would choose to love me as much as I love them, would choose to serve me. And I'm going to give them, one of the things I know we pray about all the time, God, take away my will. But is the one thing that makes us different than anything else of God's creations is the will to choose to serve him or not. And it's the one thing that when we become Christians, we're like, God, just take away my will because I just make me do what's right all the time. I don't want to have a choice here, God. I just want to see what's right. I want to do what's right every time. I don't want to be making mistakes. I don't want to fall into these areas. So God, if you would, I know you gave me this free will to choose whatever I get to do, but if you just take it away for now, it would really make my life a lot easier. But he's not going to. Because that's the one thing that makes us unique. That's the one thing that he wanted to give us from the very beginning, and then he created a world for us to live in. Everything that is fashioned here was fashioned before you and I were even born. That's why the issue of the unborn is so huge. Because all those things were, all of this was fashioned for those that have not even yet been born. Before you were born, God created a life for you. Steps for you to walk in. That to me is just incredible. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sands. When I awake, I am still with you. We are always with God. Listen, God isn't the one that takes off. We are. God is there for us. We're the ones that run away. He's the one that's there. He's the one that has always been there from the very beginning and had a plan and a purpose for our lives. Retreatism and negativism are an infection that corrupt the brain and poison the spirit. You will lose your mind in negativism. It will cause you to go nuts. Literally. It will poison your spirit. We must decide that we will have no part of it and no lot within us. In other words, we won't give place for those kind of things to happen in our lives. We won't give place to it. Since we want to live an abundant life, or if we want to live an abundant life, we must make a decision not to be negative. We must be positive. There are negative things that are happening all around us, but we can be the positive force in those negative situations and turn them out for the glory of God and make them into the glory of God. Galatians 5, 1 says, stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free and do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Now you can take this in many different ways. You can take this in areas of sin in your life. Once God sets you free from something, don't go wandering back into it. If there's a bondage or an area in your life, but it's the same. I'll just be honest with you. The day God touched my life and changed it forever, okay? You all know I was in jail, serving my fifth drunk driving. I was in jail. There wasn't a real positive spirit been on that. I just turned 25, had my birthday in jail. Woohoo! Something I was planning my whole life from the time I was a little kid. Said, you know, when I'm 25, I just want to celebrate my birthday where no one knows it's my birthday. In jail with a bunch of other knuckleheads. That's where I want to be. You know, I put it on Facebook, you know, a while back in April. But to me, I still find it absolutely amazing that I was sitting there that day, looked across the room, saw a guy 50 years old, and thought, I don't want to be here when I'm 50. A guy walked up to me, asked me to go to church that Sunday, went to Easter Sunday service, went to church, got saved. 25 years later, my birthday fell on a Sunday. You know where I was? I was in this pulpit. And then afterwards, I went out there and had cake and ice cream with friends. Other believers. God can take a negative thing and turn it into a positive thing, because God is about positive achievement in our lives. He's about changing us and transforming us, not for the sake of changing and transforming us, but for the sake of a relationship with Him that is far greater than you can ever imagine. If we are going to get out of negativism and inferiority, we must take certain positive steps. Our getting out will not just happen. No startling miracle of deliverance will happen unless we cooperate. No miracle of deliverance will work as if we don't work. It will only if we work at it. You know what's interesting is that I made a statement, and I know you all may think this is weird, but I made a statement that I recognized a fault in my own life. I made this statement, and no sooner did I make the statement, God stepped up and said, hey, you want to go to church this Sunday? Now, I could have taking a step back and said, look, man, church, no, man, I'm not into church, because believe me, I was not into church, okay? And so I was like, I could have said, no. That would have been taking a step towards the negative, but I didn't. I said, you know what? I've got to make a step here. Do I want to see some things change? So I took a step. Then the next thing, I go to church. And then the guy at the end of the thing actually asked me, do you want to take another positive step? You know what he said? He said, does anyone here want to know Jesus Christ is their personal Savior? He asked me to take another step. And so I took that step. And then when I got out of jail, I said, where should I go? And the guy that was that took me to church said, you know, over at Capital Christian Center, they got a choir that sings like angels. You should go over there. I said, okay. So I show up in this little tiny church all by myself. Some 6,000 people there. I show up there, and I walk in. It was a Monday night, so there was only about 700 people there. But I walk in on a Monday night, okay, to the singles thing. I walk in there, and I walk up to this table. And I said, hey, this is my first time here. I'm not sure exactly what to do. A friend of mine told me, a guy that I knew, told me to come here. I met him in jail, and he told me to come here. His name is Eddie Lopez. And the guy looked at me, and he goes, hey, that's my best friend. 700 people. And the guy that I'm talking to is his best friend. I'm like, what? No way. He goes, oh, yeah, you know what? Here, let me show you around. And took me and introduced me to the guy that does softball. And he got me. So I started playing. So it was just, took the step all by myself. Just, oh, okay. Next thing I know, 6 months later, I'm in Bible college. Within 2 years, I'm married and I'm a youth pastor. Before that, though, guess where my first pastorate was as a single guy in Bible college? Do you know where my first pastor was? Some of you do. It was at the Eschaton Mental Hospital over on Ingle. They buzzed me in, and I would go into this thing, okay? I would go in there and literally preach to crazy people. I remember I got called. My roommate was leaving, and he said, "Hey, you want to take over this ministry?" And I thought, I don't feel called to crazy people. Now look. Oh, and I don't feel called to crazy people. And I went to the president of the Bible college, and I said, "Listen, I don't know what to do here because he wants me to take over this ministry and I don't feel called to crazy people." And he goes, "Are they going to pay you?" And I go, "Well, no." And he goes, "Well, this will be a good chance for you to practice preaching. And your audience is going to, they're already crazy. So what do they know?" You know? And so I said, "Well, all right." And so I went and I practiced. And I had this guy make me a tape. And he sang like four songs. And so I printed them out, and then I'd put the tape on, I'd push the button and we'd all sing, with a little piece of paper in front of us. And if you've ever heard me sing, it's not all that pleasant. And so we would sing and then I'd preach we had three people in my first service there, three. When I was done, we had one. That was the first Sunday. And then I used to leave the door open. Oh, I don't know why I'm telling all these stories. I used to leave the door open. And so I had about six or seven, like three or four, my regular three or four people showed up. And so I'm preaching and this guy walks in. Okay. And I guess I've always been kind of loud, I guess. So I guess I was being loud. So he comes in. And he does this. Now watch the mic now. He comes in and he's like, he walks into the church service while I'm preaching. And he goes, "Ah, ah," and I'm standing right here. "Ah, ah, 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 ah," and then walks out the door and leaves. I'm like going, and I just kept right on preaching. And never even stopped. Not even a lick. Just kept right on top. That's why I say, listen, you want your babies to start crying and do all that stuff? It don't bother me. None of that stuff bothers me. I've been tested by fire. This guy. And so by the time I left, there were 70 people in the thing, okay? Probably 40 or 50 went to church every Sunday in this little room. 40 or 50. When I was leaving, the attendants came and said, "We wish you weren't going. Because the only time there's a peace in this place is when you're here." Through the entire place. There's a calm that just comes over the entire facility when you're here. For the short time that you're here. It's just peaceful the entire time. And the doors open, and I had friends that would come. I had a couple of friends, and my wife would, she wasn't my wife at that time, but she, when I took her there the first time, she was like, "Can I get back out of here?" We saw people get set free and let out and restored. We just saw so much good stuff happen while we were there in the short time we were there, and it was awesome. But it all started with that first step, and that's what it all starts with, is our cooperation, our saying, "Okay, God, I'll cooperate. I'll do what you've asked me to do." We cannot sit helplessly and expect either God or man to perform a miracle for us. Both God and man can perform a miracle through us if we cooperate. It's amazing what God will do through us if we cooperate with Him and let Him work in us and through us. God's not asking you to do miracles. He's just asking you to be a conduit of a miracle. First, we must recognize that negativism and inferior attitudes are enemies. And not try to dress them up. We will be tempted to look upon negativism as prudence. "Oh, I'm not being negative, I'm just being prudent. I'm just making sure everything is okay. Let me give you all the negative things so that we don't mess it up somewhere along the line." Inferiorities can often be mistaken as humility. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, no, that's I'm not capable. And we're just trying to get out of doing something God's called us to do. We need to strip off these false cloaks and see these attitudes as enemies of our own possibilities. You know, I pray every Sunday morning for creative new ideas to flow through this congregation for His glory. Because I expect, even in this small group of people here today, I expect that God will give you ideas, creative new ideas, because that's what you're made for. Creative new ideas that will bring Him glory, that will bring you prosperity. I believe God wants to speak to each of you with creative new ideas. See, Art and I talk about this all the time. Too often, people look for a paycheck instead of a creative idea. God has created you with the ability to have creative ideas that can create prosperity for your own life and glory for Him. And it's going to take work on your part to make some of those things happen. But I love it when people get creative and think of things. How do I benefit others? How can I take the skills that I have and make it marketable to other people? These are things that God wants you to do. Don't always just look for somebody else to have the idea. God will give you the idea. You can have a great idea. And you can walk it out. Listen, great ideas are not saved for Steve Jobs. And what's the other Yahoo's name? These people, they're just open to trying new things and new ideas. John 6:66 and 60, through 68 say, from that time many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And when Jesus said to His 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered Him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, so often when hard times and hard things begin to happen to us, we are tempted to give up, quit, walk away. We're faced with stress and things in our lives and we think, oh man, what am I going to do? In fact, we will take one of these four methods in dealing with difficulty most often. We will flee it. We will fight it. We will forget it. Or we'll face it. The first three will end in failure. The fourth one will open doors. If you try to flee it, fight it, or forget it, it will only cause you problems. I mean, too often we get into a conflict, we get into a situation, and we just say, I'm out of here. And we run away. Run away! That's a Monty Python thing. Run away! We flee it. We just or we forget it. We just say, you know what? I'm not going to think about that. I'm just forget it. We ignore it. Or we fight it. We fight fixing it. We fight with it all the time. We fight with whatever that sin is in life instead of just facing it. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." These are things God has given us. And what are they for? Therefore, when difficult things come into our lives, we don't flee it, we don't fight it, we don't forget it, we face it. We face adversity. We face these things. One of our first steps in facing facts is to get the whole facts. Don't be like the Scottish minister who began by saying, this is a difficult text that we're going to look at today. Having looked at it, in the face, we'll pass on. So, you know, sometimes you read stuff in the Bible. Doesn't that ever happen to you? You read stuff in the Bible and you say, oh, I'll work on that later. You know, it's funny. I used to say in golf all the time, guys say, oh, I love being in the, tr- you know, You ever work on the work getting out of those sand traps and stuff? You know, I tell them, no, I just kick it out of the sand. I figure I'll work on that next year. I don't want to know. You know, we do that, though. We have these difficult things, areas in our lives that we need to fix. You know, I've said before, you know, some of you don't know how to type, but if you just spend 15 minutes a day, every day for the next year, you'd know how to type. Some people say, well, I don't know how to speak Spanish, and you drive 45 minutes to work every day. I think Rosetta Stone could get you speaking Spanish by the end of the year. If you wanted to. I'm just saying, oftentimes we say, oh, I can't do this, or I can't do that, or not today. We put off what if we would begin to do in increments, we would end up places. I tell my sons all the time, because they hate school. I tell them all the time, I say, you know what? When you get a high school degree, you had to. So when you go to see an employer, he just knows you've done what you had to do. But when you show up and you've gone to college and you have your bachelor's degree, he knows you did something you didn't have to do. That's why he likes you more. That's why he wants to hire you more. Because you're more apt to actually do something you don't want to do. Because who really wants to go to more school? Who really wants to? But you have to if you want to move forward. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, for most of us, I mean, eighth grade we thought was good enough. I mean, high school, for me, high school really seemed like 4 years of just a waste of time, because I really didn't get a lot done there. But what I'm saying is look, oftentimes we do not take the positive things in our lives and begin to just add to them and begin to get better at them. We don't face what we're headed at. We make excuses for what we're going through. A minister took his first steps to victory when he arose and said in a meeting, I can't and tomorrow are evil twins of my life. I can't and tomorrow. I said this last week because I read a scripture where it says to stir us up today. And I said, do you know why God wants us to be encouraged today? Why we need to focus on today? Do you know why? It's because tomorrow never comes and yesterday is too late. Today, all we have is today. You want to change your life, it starts today. It doesn't start tomorrow, it starts today. Because tomorrow won't come in your life. It won't come. It never does. Yesterday is too late. You're like, oh, well, you know, I had a chance to do that, but I just never did. It's today. And until we get that I can't attitude, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you can. That's just not something that you see posted on people's helmets and stuff. And you can do all things. It's going to take some work on our part. Listen, if we weigh 500 pounds and we want to weigh 250 pounds, we can. It's just going to take some work and some time and some effort. If you want to learn a new trade, if you want to do something, you can do it. I'm telling you, you can, because you can. Because why? Because you were made for positive achievement. You were made to create. You were made for those things. Those were things that were meant to be in your life, and they were meant to be. You were meant to do things. You were not meant to run the remote and do nothing. We were not meant to do nothing. We never were. Welfare is a disease in this country. Listen. I'm not saying that welfare isn't good at times and necessary, that we help each other, because the welfare of others is important. But we've made it a disease. I want to help people. I really do. When I see guys come in off the street here, I want to know, I want to help them. When I see people hurting, I want to help them. Don't you? I mean, if it's within your power to help someone, don't you want to help them? I mean, I think that's a God thing. I think that's something inherently given to us by God to want to help other people. Because, listen, if I didn't have that inherent thing from God in me, I wouldn't care. But I do care. We want to see people get better. We need to, we can be on our way to victory if we're honest in recognition of the things that so easily ensnare us. You know what things distract you and keep you from doing the things you're supposed to do. You know what they are. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," we have this whole history of people that have gone before us, that have gone through tragedies far worse than us. I mean, we have family members. We can go back even in recent history and find people that have far greater tragedies. We live in a time right now where prosperity is great, and I know it looks ugly out there, but it's not as ugly as it's been in past times. We have had family members that have gone through worse things than what we're going through right now. And sometimes we can get so negative. We have the opportunity right now to do so many great things in this world. Or we can just crawl back, we can crawl into a shell and close it off and accomplish nothing. But that's not God's. We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sins which so easily ensnare us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father, of the throne of God. Man, I'm telling you, God, Jesus came on this earth. I think this is what happened. I think Jesus came and there was a plan. Jesus was supposed to take care of all this stuff. He was supposed to, you know, pay for our sins. But I don't know if he had as a man, if he really recognized what it was. At the Last Supper, he sits down and makes covenant with man, and then he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, and I think he got a look at the depravity of man. I think he got a look at the debt and said, "Oh my goodness, Lord, if there's any way that we can do this other than me having to go through this, is it possible? But not my will, but your will be done." He endured what he looked and saw. He saw your mess. He saw my mess. And said, "I'm going to do it." And then when he was done, he went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Right? He's up on the throne, sitting up there, and accomplishing all these things for us. And now, all we have to do is follow after him, and we'll be right next to that same throne. I mean, I know there's a, who will sit at my right hand, who will sit at my left. You know, they argued about that. I think everybody will. It's just going to be one big, huge seat. There's no argument about it because God's not going to be a respecter of persons. We're all just going to be there. And believe me, it's going to be awesome. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37 and 39 says, I think I'm supposed to read this in the New Living Translation. My wife wants me to read it in the New Living Translation. I'll read both, my wife says. I got the orders. I'm supposed to. She writes my sermons. I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to do with them. "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe in the saving of our souls." Now the New Living Translation says, "For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. Oh, hallelujah. That is a good thing. Do bad things happen to good people? Yeah, they do. But with God, if we face these things head on, there is a power that dwells in us to overcome all things and give God glory. Look, I know we all have history. We could go back to our before we were in our mother's womb, as we started this today with that scripture in Psalms. We can go all the way back there and run through the gamut of our lives and find all the things that were wrong with our lives. All the mistakes, all the things that happened that shouldn't have happened to us. It's just not fair that all these things happened. You know, it's not fair that my mom was separated from her current husband and got pregnant, and then the guy she was living with bailed on her. It's not fair. It's not fair that I don't know who my biological dad is. It's not fair that I grew up not knowing who my family was. It's not fair. It's not fair that I was adopted and my adopted mom died when I was 7. That's not fair. And then when I finally get enough nerve to look up my family, it's not fair that my mom, my sister, and a brother were already dead and gone. It's not fair. It's not fair that some of the things that happened to me when I was younger. It's not fair. Those things aren't fair. It's not fair that I started drinking when I was 13. It's not fair that I started dealing drugs. It's not fair. Bad things happen to good people. They do. But inside of me now dwells a spirit so great that none of those things matter. They're light afflictions compared to the glory that is in front of me. All those tragedies, the stepmom that beat me, the knuckleheaded priest, all those things, none of them matter. None of them matter. Because Jesus looked and endured it all and said, I'll take all that for you, Tim, and I'll change your life forever if you'll just trust me. Because you were made for positive achievement. You're not made to fail. You're made to create new ideas, to change, and to with my help, God says to me, I will change and transform lives. I just talked to a couple that were about to get a divorce, that were struggling to know God. They're together. They both love Jesus with all their heart. I met them 17 years ago. And they're still seeking after God. And they're still hungry. And when I was talking to her on the phone, she goes, oh, is there any way that I can get some of your sermons? I really want to hear some more teach. I need to hear some more stuff. I said, sure, I'll send some to you. Now I don't have to because there's a secret out there. None of you know it. There's a secret. I'm sworn to secrecy. Sworn to secrecy. But there's something out there that gives people the ability to listen to sermons. I'm sworn to secrecy right now, though. I'm not going to say it. Just talk to Dave later. He's all, he told him not. I told him not to tell anybody. I'm not telling you. It's a complete secret. It's a secret, okay? You could probably do a Google search. It's, you know what? God is awesome. He is so awesome. And you know what? And I tell a little of my story so that you can relate to your own story. You know, so you can look back and say, you know what, man, maybe it's not all that bad. There is hope. Because I know I have Jesus in me. And the same power that pastor's talking about that's in him is in me. That same power is in me to be creative and to create new things and to be a positive, to have positive achievement in my life. All those things are possible. Oh, you can look at your life and mope and be negative and, but why do that? What's, man, I'm telling you, there's no fun in that. Put that stuff behind you. Start heading towards Jesus. Things are gonna work out. I'm not promising that it'll be a rose garden. But man, oh man, it'll be way better. It's better with Jesus. I guarantee it. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. Thank you for this time that we can gather together, that we can just look at your word. And God, I just pray that you touch and minister to the lives of the people that are here today, that they would see their lives as a positive achievement, that God, you have a plan, you have a purpose for their lives to do great and wonderful things, that in you and through them, you'll create awesome and wondrous things for your glory. Father, I continue to pray for this congregation that you would continue to encourage them and strengthen them and grow them up. That God, there are great things for them to do out there for your glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you haven't asked him into your heart and your life and you want to do that, if you'll slip up your hand, we'll pray with you right now. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. Father, I pray that you would pour out your spirit on our lives and just encourage us. Father, if we looked out there and we watched the news at all, it can be negative and depressing and cause us to want to retreat back. But God, that's not what you have for us. You want us to move forward and to face these things that are in these challenges that are in our lives face to face with your glory and your power, and turn them into just great testimonies of the power of God working in our lives. So God, I pray for family members. I pray for different things that are going on. I don't know all the things that are going on in the family dynamics of the world today, but or in everyone's lives. But God, I pray that you'd begin to do miraculous things. Let us be the positive influence that changes these things for your glory. Father, we just give you all the glory and all the praise. And everyone said, amen.